The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back here. We began the program bringing you the celebration in Columbia of the national championship for Dawn Staley's Gamecocks beating badly UConn last night. We had Coach Staley on about an hour ago. Since then, the conversation has diverted a little bit to NIL. We had Jim Cavall on, who represents A&M, among other schools. And I think there's a false proposition out here that we are making accusations against Texas A&M. We are not. We are simply revealing what we're hearing, that Texas A&M does have a bullseye on their back because of their success. But no one has ever suggested that Texas A&M did anything illegal. We've even talked to Coach Fisher about that. He joked about a lot of the things that we are doing now used to be illegal, but they're not anymore. They are by all accounts going by the rules. I think the fact that they were so successful while everyone else was working their way through the system has irked some of the big cats in the SEC and around college football. Let's get back to the calls, but it is an interesting story nevertheless. Bob is in Fort Worth. Bob, you are on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul.
Howdy.
Paul, about a year ago, I called, and I know you don't remember, but just when Florida, I believe, was the first one to pass the state's legislature about this NIL.
Right.
And I called you, and I said there was fixing to be a big power shift in college football when you open this NIL deal up. Well, it's here. It's here, Paul. And all these Alabama boys and girls running their BMWs, that's bitching, moaning, and whining. You know, Jimbo Fisher, ain't no way Jimbo Fisher can out-recruit, you know, Nick and yada, yada, yada. Well, it's happening. And the boy from Tennessee calling, well, it's not fair. Well, no, it's not fair. Nobody, you know, who in the world ever told you life was fair? You know, those who have are going to do, and those who don't ain't going to do. And it's just, you know, and all these Alabama folks, they can scream and holler and moan and whine, but when it's not going to change a thing until somebody gets a hold of and makes some rules for this thing. I mean, schools, and not just A&M, you know, I believe in the rankings for recruiting, I think Alabama had a pretty good year.
But well, they had a great year, but they didn't win at all, as they are accustomed to.
Well, and therein lies the problem. You know, every once in a while, even the big dog gets smacked down once. And I'm not sitting here telling you A&M's going to go on a four-year national championship run, because I've been watching them a whole bunch of years, Paul. I'm probably your age, and I've been through this lots of times. But it just amazes me how much that folks from around the SEC are whining and complaining because A&M finally had a decent recruiting year.
Well, as long as A&M is in the conversation, and my guess is they're going to be in this conversation for a considerably long time, you are going to hear some of that.
Well, yeah, because the big boys are used to be the big boys. They're not going to like it. You know, you just cannot believe that somebody else can do as good a job recruiting as, you know, as Kirby Smart or Nick Saban or them guys. They just refuse to accept what, you know, the reality is it's coming. A&M's coming, and they better get a hold, because it won't be this year, but there's fixing to be a reckoning coming. And when it comes, the whole world's going to be screaming and hollering.
Well, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's get some more calls here. 855-242-7285. Is that accurate, what he said? Do you think Alabama people are really having a difficult time dealing with what Texas A&M is doing. Is that a fair characterization of Alabama? In an unusual position, being second or third in recruiting, not behind Georgia, but this time behind Texas A&M, not only a team that has one of Nick Saban's proteges, which pretty much everyone does these days, but has a team and a coach who beat Nick Saban during the most recent season. Let's continue with more phone calls. J-Man is in Texas. Hello, J-Man.
Hey, Paul. I'm actually using the name you suggested. What do you think?
I like it. When I looked down there, I said, man, we have to get J-Man on the show fast.
Well, I hadn't called in a few weeks because, you know, sometimes I've got to work. So sorry about that. But
that's okay.
Wanted to say congratulations to Legend for winning your fan bracket. Congratulations to South Carolina women's basketball. I think that's great. But real quick, oh, just that guy that called in about an hour or so ago about Longhorn fans, and I am a Longhorn fan, I'll say this, but I like to think that I'm not as arrogant as most. I'm pretty humbled. But the idea that we're trying to get out or we're the SEC or something, that's just I'm telling you, it's not true. At least the people I've talked to that have gone, you know, to Texas or still go, we're excited about joining the SEC because it's the best. You know, we think in terms of sports, we can compete. Obviously, football is the exception right now. We've got a lot of work to do. I mean, we're not even taking Vanderbilt for granted because we lost to Kansas last year. So we're coming in pretty humbled. And, you know, as you can see with A&M, A&M's always upset about something. They're upset about Texas joining the SEC. They're upset because people are upset about their recruiting. And they're probably upset that people are calling in right now saying that A&M's upset. So I just want to let you know that we are excited. We can't wait to join. We know the SEC is tough, especially football. But, you know, if you ever want to be the best, you got to play with the best. So, anyway, just
hey, thank you very much, J-Man. Great to hear from you. Ted is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ted.
Hey, enjoy your show when I'm driving home.
Thank you.
I only have one quick comment about the Texas A&M recruiting. You still got to be able to coach those guys. And I don't think you need to look any further than the mess that was left at Florida State. And I have some ties to Florida State, and I can tell you, with Jimbo leaving, to the Florida State fans, some of them was the best thing that could happen. So even though he signed them, don't mean they'll be at the top. That's kind of all I have got to say about that issue. So, but again, enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Mitch.
Ted took my thunder. I was going to say basically the same thing. How was your weekend, Uncle Paul?
Good.
Who are you pulling for tonight?
Neither.
Neither?
I mean, I would have a hard time between these two. But probably probably North Carolina.
I was going to say, well, at least you could pull for North Carolina. Bill Self is a little old lizard man.
Yeah, I will say this. I like Hubert Davis, which Roy Williams got on my nerves. But by the way, I want to go back to I misspoke when this caller was trying to bring Zion Williamson into the situation. He was part of the recruiting allegations. I was just trying to rush the guy along. I thought he was diverting into another story, but he was correct. But go ahead.
Zion Williams went to the day school about 5 miles from my house. And, yes, there was some scandal.
Yeah, I mean, Zion looked at Kansas, looked at Duke. I'm trying to remember if he looked at anybody else seriously. But, I mean, there was no question Zion was not in this for long.
No, but he was spoiled 3-4 years before he was ready to come out of high school.
He probably made a mistake, Mitch, because I mean, Bill Self would have been playing for a guy with class at Duke versus playing for Bill Self with that reputation. I hate to run. We're up against the break. We have a guest waiting. We are going to be back with more of your phone calls at 855-242 7285. Dan Orlowski joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And the show is going to the Strip. Have you heard that, Randy?
No.
You going at the end of the month for the draft? We're going out there to see what is going on. Dan Orlowski is here. He'll be there, of course. So Dan's probably already gone to Vegas. Of course, the NFL analyst as well as college football commentator. Dan, thank you very much. Good to have you on board. It's been a while since we've talked to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. But thanks for asking. Hope the same for you. Good to be on with you too, bud.
You bet. Great to have you on. And I know you talk about this morning, noon, and night, but as we are now about 3 weeks away from the draft, what is top of mind to analysts like you? What are you spending the most amount of attention on?
Yeah, number one, who's going to kind of make a move and or decide to take a quarterback this year, specifically early on in the draft, first rounder. And then I'd probably say the second thing is how impressive these wide receivers are that are coming out of the draft. And how we have the evidence of guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson that they can come in nowadays, and if they're that good, really impact your football team. And then, yeah, certainly the offensive tackles that are in this draft that seem to be such promising players. I think teams are looking at those guys saying, if we get that guy, we're a playoff team.
Dan, we watched here a couple of weeks ago, as I'm sure you did, I know you did, the Ole Miss Pro Day, and most of the focus, if not all of the network focus, was on Matt Corral. What is your evaluation of him, especially coming back after that injury in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I think that it's a tough evaluation because their offense was so tempo and RPO run-pass option-based. And that's a lot of offenses in college football nowadays, and that certainly has spilled over to the NFL, and I think that's kind of come back to earth a little bit in the league, the usage of that. So I think it's difficult because I could sit here and tell you what everyone else could tell you about Matt Corral. Yeah, he's an impressive athlete, tough as nails. Doesn't matter how tough you are as a runner in the NFL, you can't take those hits. So the thing that is seen as a strength in college football for him when it comes to his running and his toughness, that's going to be seen as a liability in the NFL. So how effective is he going to be using his athleticism as a runner when those hits have to diminish for him to stay available? I think the arm, the snap release, the quick feet are all very intriguing. But I could then flip it to the other side, Paul, and say, and I'm not being a jerk, I'm just doing my job. I think it's hard to find five plays on his tape that you could sit there, point, and go, yup, that's the reason why we're taking him in the first round. I could do that for Kenny Pickett. I could do that for Malik Willis. Shoot, I think I could even do that for Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. I don't feel like I could do that for Matt Corral. I don't feel like I sit there and go, whoa, like that is jaw-dropping or uncoachable or that guy puts this over the top. And so I don't see him successfully go through progressions a lot. I see a guy that occasionally gets the number two or number three, but for every time that he does that, I can point to the two or three plays where he gets the two or three and he misses the throw. And so as much as you love the athleticism and the toughness, for me to take you in the first round, I don't see that for Matt Corral.
Interesting evaluation talking to Dan. Dan, we watched Alabama's pro day. We did not see Jameson Williams do very much because of the injury. Obviously, the expectation is he'll be good. But what type of decisions are teams going to have to make with knowing that terrible injury that he suffered?
I think the ACL injury is just very different nowadays, and it's getting even more so different than it has been in the past. Obviously you still respect it, but you still believe, and we have data that guys can come off of that surgery and that injury and still be just as good, if not better, player-wise. I'd say this, Jameson Williams reminds me a lot of DeSean Jackson. If you remember, DeSean Jackson came out of Cal, went to Philadelphia, lit the league on fire because, you know, he's got the two things at receiver physically that, again, are just so jaw-dropping. It's speed, which his speed is flat out elite, and then quickness as well. Now, sometimes we get receivers that come in the NFL and they're fast, they're really fast, but they're not quick, so they can't win on routes. Or guys that are quick, but they run 4.7. Jameson's got the combination of both, and I think that here's the reality for him. If you're a team drafting him, I think it's twofold. Are you good enough at the wide receiver spot where you don't have to rush him on the field? You may not be great, and you may not be as good as you want at the wide receiver spot, but do you have good enough players that you feel, okay, we don't have to get him in September on the field? We can take our time with him. Or are you a team like the Green Bay Packers that, listen, we're a playoff football team. We're going to the playoffs. I don't need Jameson Williams at a 10 in September and October. I need him as a 10 in December, January, and February when we are going to need difference makers against playoff defenses.
Finally, Dan, the Georgia is loaded. We all know that. Jordan Davis certainly probably the best known, maybe not the best player in terms of a draft position. How do you look at him and those Georgia monsters on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think the really intriguing question for teams looking at the Georgia defensive players are how good and or great are they going to be without those complementary parts next to them? You know, I say this ad nauseum. This is the team game. It's the team game. I talk about it with quarterbacks all the time. It's team, team, team. And how good is a N'Kobe Dean going to be without those bigs up front running in the NFL? Or how good is Jordan Davis going to be without those three or four other D linemen that are standing on the same line of scrimmage with him that teams have to pay attention to? And I think that's the really interesting part about these Georgia guys is, you know, when you did, I called their some of their games, and I remember having conversations with people and asking them, how many first-rounders do you think are on this defense? I actually think it was the Georgia Tech game, Paul. And I asked people because I was sitting there going, man, this defense on tape just looks like that Miami Hurricane from the early 2000s defense where you're like, dude, you got no chance to do anything. But that team had like seven first-rounders on it. And I remember asking people, and they were like, one, you know, maybe two. And I was like, really? You know, shocked to hear that low a number. And I think that's the question for those teams and general managers is, are those guys going to solo be as dominant as they were essentially when they were just a part of that 11-person dominant unit?
Great stuff from Dan Orlowski. Dan, thank you very much for the time. We look forward to staying in touch as we get closer to the draft. We are heading to the break right now. Appreciate all the guests this afternoon, including Dawn Staley. Just moments after ending the celebration in Columbia, we will continue another 90 minutes with your phone calls.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
More of your phone calls right now, 855-242-7285, and Snake is up next. Hello, Snake.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are great. Thank you.
Nobody's asked you that today, have they?
Yeah, you are the 74th straight person.
Hey, listen, I think I broke the gym code. I'm surprised somebody hadn't come up with this yet, but anyway, I'm going to start off with saying I believe Jim when he says Tim's not his grandson. I really do believe that.
Can I jump in for a second? I want to clear the air on that.
Yes.
We all thought it was funny. No, I didn't think any person would take that seriously. So let's clear the air. That was a put-up call. Not a put-up call, but that was a call that some guy thought by putting it up would be funny. And I think in the end we hurt Jim's feelings, and we certainly do not want to do that. We thought it was funny, laughing about it. It turned out that it was hurtful and mean-spirited and spiteful. And considering what a good caller he is, what a well-mannered guy he is, that he never speaks ill of anyone else, that he always tries to lift people up,
that's right.
We want to apologize for that.
Preach.
Right, okay. Well, all right, well, I've been listening to his calls for, over a decade, maybe two.
Yeah.
Don't
make me old. I'm not that old. You couldn't have been listening for two decades. I was just born last week.
You came to Birmingham when my first son was born. I know how old you are. But anyway. But,
I was born the week
when
before.
The show's
I was just
over,
kidding.
You know, I never give it a second thought when the show's over. But, last week he said something that kind of stuck in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. And I've done some deciphering.
Okay.
I started digging, through an old chest that I call the Ark of Nothing Sacred. And I got out my handbook of codes and ciphers and secret writings and the lost books of the Bible and my George Washington Mount Vernon cipher wheel that I believe Thomas Jefferson probably invented. But anyway, after hours of reading the second book of Enoch and the Apocalypse of Abraham.
You're not a Mason, are you, Snake?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I
was getting nervous there. I thought you were going to give me some secret code.
But I do have lots of friends that are. But anyway, and after reading the Apocalypse of Abraham and the History of Ezra, I knew that I was on to something. And then I turned to American literature. I read Edgar Allan Poe's, The Telltale Heart and
the Raven.
Fall of the House of Usher. And,
yeah.
And then after reading The Adventure of the Dancing Man by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle,
My goodness.
But anyway, I believe I finally broke the code.
Your reading list is longer than Tolstoy's War and Peace.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Well, I'm retired now.
Okay.
But anyway, last week, not only we witnessed not only does Jim not have sex with women, I think we witnessed Jim coming out of the closet.
No, we did not. I cannot tolerate that. Jim is a normal guy. People don't understand. He just has a really wry sense of humor. Am I wrong in defending Jim? This is the guy on the phone right now is the one who started all of this nonsense about Jim. Am I correct? Is this the person that claims to have originally been his grandson? I'm not hearing anything. Are you there?
Hello?
We were hoping this guy was going to apologize.
Hello?
Yeah, are you on the air? You're on the air, my friend. Go right ahead.
Hey, I just want to apologize. I didn't think anybody would take that seriously. You know, obviously, I'm not Jim's grandson. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I think the show's a lot better when Jim's calling. You know, just watching it today, something the same.
I think
when he
you're
doesn't
right.
Call.
Okay. I'm glad we got this apology out of the way. I don't know what your real name is, but you realize by you saying you were his grandson, it hurt a lot of innocent people.
Well, I didn't really think about it that way, to be, you know, completely honest with you.
Well, here's what you did. NJG. Sounds like somebody who won a Grammy last night. You created this aura about him, and now everybody's throwing up their own opinions, which just simply aren't true. I know the guy. I have spoken to him on the phone, not in the last couple of years, but I have spoken to him on the phone, off the air.
No.
So you are apologizing?
No, yeah. I didn't think anybody would take it seriously. Okay. I just thought it was all fun and games.
You have a real grandfather, correct?
Yeah.
And his name is not Jim.
No, he is not Jim. It's Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
He's not my grandfather. You heard it here first. I didn't think. I mean, I know the audience. They didn't believe it.
Yeah,
but
and of course,
as far as Jim, no,
by not being Jim, I mean, of course, Jim is probably his real name anyway. So you are not Jim's grandfather.
I am not Jim's grandson.
I'm confused myself now.
And, you know, as sad as that might be, that I'm not such a great man's, you know, grandson.
Not Jim's grandson. Has your grandfather ever called our show?
No.
Okay.
I don't think he knows anything about the show.
Okay.
So, no, but I mean, if Jim, I mean, I'm sure he's watching this. I mean,
did he ever
come back, call the show?
Did he ever play Major League Baseball?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not. But, you know, I think Jim should call back the show. I mean, he hears this first. I mean, it was all fun and games. I think he was the only person that really took it seriously.
You sound like a nice young man. I hate to be that guy, but we're going to have to we're going to have to suspend you from the show.
Yeah, I think me and you had our fun with this, you know.
Yeah,
but
so
I think
you
it's time
are
for
officially
Jim to...
suspended at least until the end of the show. I-Man is... is up next.
You know, Paul, that's not even right. I mean, I contest that. Let's have a sidebar.
Well, I am sorry,
because
but this guy started a false story that hurt good people. I-Man.
And what about Jim's 20 years of falsehoods?
Well, that's not really the issue here.
Sometimes five times a day. Oh, it's
that,
not.
That,
it's
that
not
is
the
not
issue.
What is. That is not germane
oh,
to this conversation.
Okay. So we can only have one real good liar on this show, and of course that's going to be Jim.
Well, you don't have. You don't have any evidence that Jim has ever lied on this show.
Oh, he walked up the fairway with Jack Nicklaus. I mean, he slam dunked on
maybe
Joe
that
Namath.
One time.
he was a better hitter than Ted Williams, word.
Maybe
outswam Johnny Weissmuller.
Two times, okay.
He taught Ed Sullivan to say, "Welcome to the show." You know, he's done it all, Paul. and he's come on here. He's habitually lied for 20 years. And you know that, but we've only got room for one real good liar. He's an empty chair, Paul. He's an empty pitcher. He's never there. He is that empty chair. He is the unknown comic, the guy with the bag over the head, the guy that never shows up. Need I say more? I mean, I could go on 250 quits, and that's just in the last
I feel like I'm losing this argument here. I've had a good premise.
You're definitely losing.
I feel like I had a really good idea to defend Jim here, because you know man. He always says about me, you never defend me, right?
Oh, of course, and you're doing it, but I'm winning, and you know.
To defend his honor against his illegitimate grandson.
His honor. His honor.
Yes, his honor.
I mean, Jim has honor. I mean, we're the evil people. I mean, we're the devil. We're the ones going to hell, and we're the ones that are demons and all of those things.
You're misleading the audience on that.
I'm misleading them. Paul, I mean, you're defending them, and you're losing this battle.
Well, it ain't even the end of the first quarter.
Hey,
man, this is not about whether I win arguments or not. This is about the truth.
Oh, well, of course it's about the truth. But I tell you, when the kid called in, that was the funniest first call I've ever heard on this program. I fell out laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing. Well, I am demented just like you.
Well, I want to
for
the record, I was not laughing the first time he called.
Yes, you were.
I had a
sinus,
something in my sinuses which made my eyes tear. I wasn't laughing so hard that my eyes were tearing. You misread that.
No. You was laughing so hard you was about to puke up that lettuce sandwich. That's what was happening.
I just can't. That's a lie. That's a total lie, man.
you was about to lose all the kale you had in a week.
I've never said this before, but that's fake news.
No, it wasn't.
That was just, that's the typical I-Man media propagating some fallacy.
Of course, but it's your show, and you about threw up, Paul. You about threw up $200 worth of kale that you've ate this year, and it was the funniest. It was the funniest first call ever on this show.
Well, I wouldn't
and
say
it
that.
Got it. It hit. It was Babe Ruth point to the fence
call.
That was
funny
better.
Until you found out it was serious.
Think about this. That kid came on with such a great imagination. He has to be Jim's grandson. He has to be. Who else is going to pull out all of those stops, the compellent, sapient edge of all of that?
I've got to let this go here because we have a call from I-Man's grandson.
Yeah, this is I-Man's grandson. I don't like the way you're talking to my grandfather, and he's a truther. He's not a liar, okay? Everything he said was accurate on Jim.
Well, we got to go to a break. We're in a hurry. We're coming right back with much more of the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Pete is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Paul. Great show. Love it. Watch it every
day.
I have a couple of comments. One of them concerns Jerry Stackhouse, and the other one is Kim Mulkey. They are a class act. When it comes to their dress code, they represent their universities well, and they should be complimented on it. And I'm the one to do it. And another thing, last thing, and I'm going to let you just talk about it, go Gators. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Gilbert is in Kentucky. Hello, Gilbert.
Hey, Paul. A couple quick questions for you here. Who do you have tonight for the national championship game? And then if Carolina does win that game, does that, you know, put any, you know, added pressure on the John Shire going in to the, you know, taking over it? You know, if Hubert Davis wins in his first year, does that put a lot of pressure on Duke? You know, I'm a Duke fan, live in Kentucky, but I'm a Duke fan. Does that put any added pressure on to John Shire and the Duke program going forward if they're able to win?
I don't think you can really give Shire any more pressure than he has. replacing Mike Krzyzewski, whose last year was – was a Final Four appearance. I've personally covered a couple of major transitions in terms of legend. Obviously, you know, Bear Bryant, and no matter what happens, it is difficult because you are doing something different than it's differently than it's ever been done before at that school. And of all the transitions, John Wooden to Gene Bartow, Adolph Rupp to Joby Hall, Bryant to Ray Perkins, I'm not sure anyone quite, no one has ever been at their job longer than Mike Krzyzewski. So I think this will be even more challenging. As far as tonight, I like Kansas, I base it more on the emotion of coming off of that win the other night and turning it around. And I think which one, I can't remember the name of the guy, the one of their players with the ankle injury, I think is a big setback for that team that's not really very deep.
Oh,
anyway.
My God!
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you. And you can tell how much I know about it because I couldn't remember his name. Will is up next in New York. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I just want to go comment on the Jim grandson situation. And then I also got a comment about a football player as well. So,
sure.
What Tim did or whatever his name is, I think personally that's like – messed up, considering that like people out there like really don't know who their dads are, like grandfathers or moms or whatever the case may be. I don't think that was right at all. And I feel bad for Jim because it's been a while since we heard a phone call from Jim. And my comment about the football player, Jameson Williamson, the wide receiver that got injured last year. Yeah. So I know that he didn't participate in the practices or whatever that's going on and stuff like that now. Like, but he was on the field. Like, I think he was doing suicides and stuff. Like, obviously he's not 100% now, but I do think that he's going to be a comeback player of the year next year. And he is going to be a big part of why Alabama is going to win a national championship.
Hey, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Eric is up next in Athens. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Paul. The next horror story coming out of NIL portal, just think of this. Ask the next Texas A&M caller or representative, what are the chances of one of these star players flunking out of school? I think we all know the answer.
Yeah.
And what that is going to do is that's going to be a part of what a kid asks the school. Do I have to go to class? Is there any chance that I flunk out?
But you know something, Eric?
And if the answer is you have to go to class.
I don't think anybody's going to ask. That is a question you don't get asked because I can already tell you the answer, whether it's true or not. Every coach will say you have to go to class. It's just ingrained in these guys. And if you don't say that, you're risking your own livelihood.
Yes, but Paul, you're not asking the coach; you're asking an agent.
Well, the agents
an agent
are a different
doesn't
story.
Have to give
you're
you
right.
The same answer. So I think completely
yeah,
different.
Yeah, the agent. By the way, you're right. The agents don't care. They don't care what happens. Most agents. I mean, there are very good agents, but there are more sleazeball agents than there are good agents.
Oh well, that guy that you had on earlier, I loved how you had him squirming in his seat. I mean, and you just ask him that question about will any of these A&M kids flunk out of school? If they have to, they will have a course called sports communication.
Sure.
And the only test will be who was the host of the Paul Feinbaum show.
If you can get an A for naming this question, who is the host of the Paul Feinbaum show, you deserve to be the valedictorian of your class. We're coming right back.